Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the third day of the council meeting. For some of us, the fourth day. And the first day of summer. And the heat outside proves it. Before we get started this morning, as you can see, we have Sam Rauch with us today. And I just wanted to take this moment to make sure that the council was, aware, but everybody is aware, of the kind of support that we have been getting from Sam and from his staff. You know, we have gone through and still are going through some extraordinary situations here, but I personally want to, on behalf of the council, say thank you to Sam and his staff for the extra effort that they have put in supporting what we have been doing here. I think it has been very helpful, and I look forward to continuing this relationship until we get through these situations. Sam, did you have a couple of comments?
Yes, thank you. It is my pleasure to be here again at this council meeting. I was here in January, or at the council in January, and I always enjoy coming to the councils, even though the issues are sometimes difficult. I particularly am pleased to be here to express my thanks to both the council as a whole and to the three outgoing council members, Sally, Rodney, and Jim Odlin, who will be leaving us. I wanted to thank them for all the work that they have done from the fishery service perspective. It is difficult to get good council members, and I think that we have three very good ones here, and it was a shame to lose them, but that's the way that the statute works. I will have a more detailed report later in the meeting. The reason I'm here is that the last council meeting, the council requested that we form a Yellowtail Flounder Working Group, which we did, and I will give a report out about that when we get to that part of the agenda. Many people know, I did want to make a comment about my current status. Many people are aware that the titles are changing back at the at NOAA. Eric Schwab, who is and always has been the Assistant Administrator for Fisheries, was temporarily the Acting Assistant Secretary. The law states that when you're in a Senate-confirmed position like he was, you can only act for a certain amount of time, and then you have to revert back. So he has reverted back to the assistant administrator. I have reverted back to being the deputy assistant administrator. But in the interim and for the foreseeable future, I am still the effective head of the National Marine Fisheries Service. He is still doing the assistant administrator type functions downtown. And I don't know how long this will last. I've never known how long this will last. But for the moment, that is still what I am, although my title has changed. So if that's clear to you, then you can explain it to me later. But that's where I am. So thank you very much. I appreciate the ability to come here and work constructively with the council again. Thank you, Rip.
Okay, we will move on to our first agenda item, which is monkfish, and I will turn it over to Mark Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Monkfish Committee has not met since the last council meeting. However, Phil has continued working with key members of the PDT in developing alternatives for Amendment 6. If you recall, the committee had charged the PDT with developing options that would modify the current day at sea system, establish days at sea leasing option, integrate monkfish into ground fish sector management, and establish ITQs. They've made a significant progress on the first three of those options. They didn't work on the last because of the motion that was presented and deferred at the last council meeting. They've also completed several analytical tasks, better understand the range of issues being addressed. These include a detailed discard analysis, ownership concentration, processor issues, measures of efficiency, all of which will form the basis for addressing the goals and objectives. Anybody have any questions for either me or Phil? Seeing none, on the recommendation of the two councils, NEMPS published a advance notice of proposed rulemaking on May 9th, establishing a control date in the monkfish fishery. You might recall that this control date was intended to limit speculative entry in anticipation of Amendment 6. In response to that notice, the agency has received three public comments. One of the comments was in support of the control date and asked for a referendum as a prerequisite to adopting any type of catch share, sector, or ITQ program. Another comment objected to ITQs, and the last offered several suggestions for allocating shares or fishing privileges. Both the Federal Register notice and those comments can be found under tab 10. Any comments, questions about that? All right. If you recall at the last meeting, there was a motion made before the council to remove the ITQ alternative from Amendment 6. If you recall, the maker of the motion stated that the purpose of that motion was to reduce the time and staff resources required to move along the development of Amendment 6. At their June meeting, the Mid-Atlantic Council considered this motion. There it was pointed out that if ITQs are taken out, the only allocated share option would be sectors, which is not garnered a lot of support in the southern management area. The Mid-Atlantic was also interested in conducting workshops to understand and characterize the fishery better in the southern management area, and did not support removing ITQ consideration from the amendment at this time. Is Rick here?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if he wants to elaborate a little more on that, but so that's where we are.
Thank you. Rick, I don't know if it got circulated subsequently, but we did receive a letter from the MID concerning their concern about removing ITQs, but Rick, you could bring us up to speed.
Sure, and I appreciate the opportunity, Mr. Chairman. Indeed, we did discuss it at our New York City meeting last week. There was concern that if we removed that, the only allocated model would be sectors, and frankly, there's not any measurable support for that concept in the Mid-Atlantic. But I think the commitment that we've made to the industry has been one that we would move forward very thoroughly and deliberately as we go through the consideration of these questions. And so we have proposed to have a workshop to really drill into the details in the southern management area. And so, frankly, we thought it might be premature at this point to remove that option. And it's not to say that we are prepared to support ITQs in the Mid-Atlantic, but again, we want to move forward very thoroughly, and it just seemed premature to take that option off the table.
Excuse me, I was just trying to check with General Counsel about the process of having a deferred motion and how we got that back into play. Jim.
Yeah, in order to move this along, I'm going to remake the deferred motion, and that is that the motion will be that we remove ITQs from Amendment 6 consideration at this time.
Is there a second to that motion? Tom Dempsey.
Yes, I'm not opposed to ITQs, and I can understand why the Mid-Atlantic is not in as big a rush as the people in the North are, and that is they're catching 100% of pretty much 100% of the southern monkfish stock, and we're not catching it in the North, and we're far from it, and we're having a hard time integrating days at sea into a sector program, and we're giving up a lot of yield. So we are more, I feel that the northern area is more in a hurry to try to figure out something to start utilizing some of that resource, so that if we keep ITQs on the table, it's likely going to be many years before Amendment 6 gets concluded. If we could split off, and I'm not saying don't work on ITQs on Monkfish, I'm saying we split it off from Amendment 6, move Amendment 6 forward with there can be numerous ideas. It doesn't necessarily have to be sectors that end up helping the fisheries catch more of its quota in the north. It could be days at sea leasing. It could be a number of different things. But if we don't split off ITQs, then we're going to be stuck where we are for a number of years. I mean, you know, my prediction would be it will take 5 years, but that's just my personal view. And so that's the rationale behind this motion. I think we should vote it, and then the MID could have their workshop and figure it out. And maybe they'll come to our terms, and maybe they won't. But we need to do it to move this amendment along. Otherwise, it's my opinion, it's not going anywhere for quite a while.
Council discussion. Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've had, I don't think we've ever had amendment actions or management actions that haven't been approved for submission. So all the Monkfish actions we've had, joint management or Dogfish, both councils have approved submission of the package. So I'm just curious from a legal standpoint. Say, for instance, you know, the MID is no, we don't want sectors, and that's what our plan is. And when it comes time to submit the package, which is a joint plan, if we say submit to the secretary and the MID says no, we don't approve this amendment because we don't want sectors, is that different than the approve, disapprove, or partially approve when we both submit?
I'm not sure I understand the last part of your question. I mean, you would both have to agree to it. Okay. So it doesn't go forward unless you both agree, as I understand it. I think the regs, I can't remember if the regs speak to that or not. I haven't looked at that recently. You know, unless there's, I mean, you can separate out measures if you want, as long as it can be justified as fair and equitable, et cetera, between the north and the south. But, you know, again, it would still have to be a joint action that goes forward that both councils agree to.
Jim and then Chairman Robbins.
Yeah, and I think, and Rip pointed it out to me, I had forgotten about it, that one of the differences here is that in the MID, they don't have to have a referendum to do ITQs, but in New England, we do. So I think that's another complicating factor. And the other thing is we could also, as Gene pointed out, if it's decided that the MID doesn't want to do sectors, then could do sectors in the northern area, not in the southern area. It's doable. But if we don't remove ITQs, we can't move forward. We're going to be stuck with trying to deal and figure out a way to have an ITQ system be developed, a vote, a referendum, all be developed in this amendment, and it's just going to take a long time.
Chairman Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think one of the points that we discussed is the fact that ITQs would work with sectors, but sectors, if they were approved in this plan, would be, frankly, somewhat of an imposition on the Mid-Atlantic. And so the other point that we've had discussion on is a point of legal advice, and that's been that it's our understanding that if we move forward with ITQs, because New England has a lead on this plan, we would have a referendum requirement. So we've already said that publicly to the constituents in the Mid-Atlantic, that if, in fact, there is a ITQ option developed, that we would have a referendum.
Phil?
Yes, this might move the discussion on a little bit and address some of the issues, concerns of people around the table. Jim prefaced his motion by indicating that it was the vessels that are in sectors now fishing in the northern area primarily, although they do fish south of the Monkfish boundary when they're sector fishing, are having a difficulty integrating the Monkfish Days at Sea package with the sector package. Now, when you say sectors in Amendment 6, there are two ways to do it. One of them is to simply develop some rules that would enable monkfish limited access permit holders who are also eligible to join groundfish sectors, probably already are in groundfish sectors, to bring some monkfish ace to the sector and run as a component of an existing groundfish sector. The other approach would be to create a new sector system, which people in the Mid-Atlantic, if they want to form a sector based on monkfish, independent of the groundfish sector program, could do so. And those are two very different approaches, and they have very different implications. And if you simply went with providing an opportunity for groundfish sector vessels to integrate monkfish into their sector fishing, that would not impose anything on anybody who didn't want to have to choose between joining a sector and not joining a sector, you know, and it would not be nearly as disruptive as the second option, which says, okay, if you want, you can form a sector, and then we have a whole new administrative and political and social issue to deal with. So if I could actually get some clarity from the council on those two choices, we could probably move a lot quicker if it was simply to integrate monkfish into the groundfish sectors as an alternative.
Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, I'm opposed to the motion. I think ITQs are worth developing. I think, in fact, sectors are ITQs. I've always said it. They're being fished like ITQs, only they don't give you the protection of a referenda. The referenda is important to small boats and people like me who see that as our only protection from, you know, being disenfranchised from the fishery. I think there are a number of people that you know, there's a number of categories of monkfish permits. There are a number of people outside of groundfish that catch monkfish. They're not in sectors now. That's why I think the Mid is probably largely opposed to this. You know, they may want to get their quota of monkfish and deal with it on an individual basis outside of sectors. You know, it may be that people in the north want to take their ITQ to a sector and let the sector manager do the paperwork and handle the ITQ for them. That's fine. But to take ITQs out and take it off the table when so many people, probably if you did a poll of all the people with a monkfish permit, you'd find, you know, 75 or 80% are opposed to taking ITQs out of this. The 20% that may be in favor of it are, you know, a relative handful of people in the fishery in northern New England. In New England, rather, not northern New England. You know, you're going to have to develop the aspects of a referenda sooner or later. You know, I've always seen sectors as just being a bridge to ITQs and hopefully a rather short bridge, not a bridge to nowhere. You know, if this takes 5 years, so be it. It takes 10 years. I don't care. It's got to be done. There's no doubt in my mind at this point we're going to eventually end up with ITQs in every fishery. And, you know, the sooner we get on with it, the better. So, you know, some species is going to have to bite the bullet and develop the referenda. It may as well be monkfish. So, anyway, I'm opposed to the motion.
I'm going to go to the audience for comments and then bring it back to the council. Maggie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. Do you want me to say this every time I come to the microphone?
Just once.
Once a day?
Just once.
Thanks. Good.
We think we know who you are.
Okay, good. First of all, I was very pleased to hear Mark report that the PDT has made progress on developing options that the committee directed them to develop back in January. As you know, I've come to the microphone several times complaining about the lack of progress on this amendment. So, I'm pleased to hear that. I had not been aware of any PDT meetings, and I would request once again that those meetings be posted on the council's webpage so that the public is aware of those meetings and what takes place at those meetings. It would have been helpful also today to have some kind of draft document of the progress that has been made, and unfortunately we don't have that. So to the motion, our association is very mixed on this question. We have been struggling for 2 years with trying to deal with the difficulty of the monkfish fishery being under days at sea while we are fishing in sectors. We have had significant concerns about the discards that system is creating in our fishery. It's an extremely valuable resource, and it's every day of the week it comes across the dock. It's worth a lot of money, and to have to discard any of that is problematic. So we would prefer to be accountable for all of the fish that we catch. We do understand that the ITQ option presents a lot of problems, as Jim has explained, that will delay potentially the realization of being able to have an allocation of monkfish. So what we really want the council to do is to move as quickly as possible in some way to give us an allocation of monkfish so that we can fish this resource responsibly and stop throwing it away needlessly. So whatever that mechanism is, we strongly urge you to keep moving forward with some allocation option for monkfish so that we can fish responsibly on this resource. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience like to comment? Phil.
Just to clarify, we have not had any PDT meetings. I've been meeting with key members of the regional office staff on this to develop a complete outline which will then be vetted by the PDT. Most of the PDT members are responsible to different bosses and have other jobs. This is not in almost all cases their top priority, and I didn't want to convene the group to sit around and brainstorm. I met last Friday with a couple of the regional office staff, and I would say that we are within the next week going to have a complete range of alternatives sans the ITQ option at this point, which would then be vetted through the PDT and to the committee and the advisory panel.
Thank you. Back to the council. Tom? Vito, I didn't see your hand before.
Sam, thank you for coming. It's very nice to see you here. I think we need you at times like this. And I almost can say I was excited, except I only got excited in my younger days with a beautiful woman. And now excitement is my wife's spaghetti and meatballs. So now that I've said all of that, Sam, again, my name is Vito Calamo. I represent United States Senator Scott Brown. And they already know you're here, so that's great. I see the motion, Mr. Chairman. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak at these meetings. And that's like a motion for maybe a necessary evil, because the sectors, we all know, are causing havoc and destruction among our fishing industry. There are people making money, yes, sir. There are people going out of business left and right faster than any amendment or plan that I've ever seen. Last night, I was with a young fellow that I go back a few years with that we sat on many boards and commissions with, and he's in his 40s, and I felt a little hurt. I felt that he was thinking of leaving the industry. And he loved the industry like I did when I was young. And it's because of this sector. And I know we're talking about ITQs, IFQs, or whatever the case may be, but it's the same thing. He seems to be not being able to make a living, whether it's monkfish. He may try a little whiting fishery, a little dog fishery, whatever's left available to him, but these sectors have pushed them out. So that's, you know, you're talking an ITQ, which I fought for years, individual transfer quota, where we'd end up something like Alaska, where several big ships would own the fishery in time. Yeah, it would take more than my lifetime, I understand, but that's what it would be. And we come from communities of fishing industries. And I could give you my history of the oldest fishing community in the United States, Gloucester, Massachusetts, but we have other fishery communities up and down the coast that are losing that. And it's a sad deal, Mr. Chairman and Sam and all of you, to witness this. And I'm not in favor of ITQs, but it looks like it's a necessary evil to start and get rid of this sector program, and that's all that is another sector program. But the ITQ, again, may help out some fishermen, because what we have now is not so. I'd hate to say I'm in favor of it, Mr. Chairman, but with the necessary evil that was going on, I guess I would say I'm in favor of it. And thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Okay, this time back to the council. Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly understand the desire on part of many, including the Mid-Atlantic, to keep every option on the table. I get that. And I think in a perfect world, without any challenges right in front of us, we'd absolutely be best served doing that. But we're not in a perfect world, and we do have very urgent challenges in the monkfish fishery. And I don't think we can wait. And at least, you know, up here with the referendum as it is and the timeline that we've seen, you know, we're looking at 5 or 6 years minimum. And we all know what's going on with sturgeon right now. And I think the only way that this fishery is going to avoid huge time area closures and some other really difficult measures that are going to cut into profitability is to explore sectors, days at sea leasing, and some of the other options that will remain in this document. We need to consider those. We need to get through this process, make a decision of how we're going to address some of the challenges facing this fishery, both sturgeon and the issues that the AP has repeatedly raised. So, again, I understand the desire to keep everything in at this point. We just don't have that luxury. We need to move forward, and I think this motion allows us to do that, and so I support it.
Sally McGee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the changes to the Magnuson Act 5 years ago have effectively acted as a moratorium on ITQs in New England. We have had that 5 years to potentially develop some kind of ITQ system and have said that it would take more than 5 years to do that. So we've kind of, honestly, I think, twiddled our thumbs on this. We have examples in the Gulf of Mexico that we could draw from if there was a desire to pursue that, given how long it's taken to get this thing going and the needs in the monkfish fishery. I don't think it makes sense, and we should just continue to abide by the effective moratorium that the statute has imposed on New England for ITQs at this point. So for that reason and because of the what Jim and Tom have laid out, I'm going to support this motion. Thank you.
Doug Grout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm opposed to this motion. I went through all the scoping document comments and found, if you all go through those things again, you'll notice that there was clearly in the South a lot of opposition to any catch shares, but there was also a lot of opposition to a catch shares up in the North. And those that did say that they could hold their nose and support a catch share. We're saying we want to have an ITQ. We want to have a voice in this. We want to have a say in this. I appreciate the fact that these take a long time, and clearly Jim feels that we don't have the time here. But one of the things that concerned me about Amendment 16 was with it is that we rushed through that. We rushed through that because we had to get ACLs and AMs in place. And yes, there was a desire to try and get away from something other than days at sea at that time. But if we didn't have that statutory deadline to get in ACLs and AMs, I think we would have been a lot more deliberative in developing a catch share system that was better than the one that we developed. It seems like we've been, as you see with framework, our current framework we're working on, we're trying to fix it right now. We've been trying to fix it with that, with the framework we're working on right now. We're trying to fix it with Amendment 18. If at the West Coast, when they developed a catch share system, it took them 10 years to get it in place. I think for something as important as a catch share system, we need to be deliberative on this. And hopefully we can draw from some of the experiences in other places to make it be deliberative, but try and move something like this forward a little bit quicker if it's something that the industry wants. So I hope my fellow council members will take into consideration what we heard in scoping here in, before you make, when you make this decision on this vote. Thank you.
Mark Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hate to see this option come out of the amendment. I think the council needs to expand their repertoire of management approaches. And as Dave Gayfield said, we need to tackle this at some point. However, 5 years is unacceptable. That's what it takes. So my support or opposition to this motion is dependent on, I guess, my question, and that is, do we know how to conduct a referendum in a timely fashion? I'm not aware that we do. Sally spoke to that a little bit in another region, I guess, but it'd be interesting to hear from the chair or anyone of the agency. Do we really know how to conduct this in, you know, in a timely fashion, an effective way that doesn't get us into a you know, an impossible situation relative to lawsuits or what have you. If the answer is we know, we're confident we can do it in a timely fashion, I would oppose the motion. If we don't know how to do it and it is a five-year thing, then I would have to support the motion. So that's
Paul Howard. The legal guidance is that you don't go to referendum until you're completely done. This is the package. These are the qualification periods. This is what it means to you as an individual. You go out with the referendum on the different alternatives. And so the council has to complete its work before the referendum. I've always thought it'd be nice to have an early referendum with that, but that's not the way it works.
Just to add to that, too, we currently don't know what the guidelines would be for the referendum, you know, who would get to vote, who has what priority. All of that would have to be developed during this process as well. Just a comment. David Pierce.
I oppose the motion. I think David Geffel's arguments are very persuasive. I do have similar views regarding what sectors are now. They're basically ITQs. We have to deal effectively and efficiently with the whole concept of consolidation and excessive shares. We haven't really done that well with groundfish. Of course, we're going to discuss that a little later on. All the scoping comments on Amendment 18. I think by keeping ITQs in Amendment 6 for monkfish, we will be forced to deal upfront, hopefully efficiently and effectively, with this whole concept of excessive shares and consolidation. So I would, as I said, oppose the motion to remove ITQs from the amendment.
Glenn Libby.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I have a question about ITQ administration. I know right now sectors function like co-ops, and the cost of administrating the data movement and collecting the money and everything is shared, and it offers some cost saving. If we go to an IGQ and everybody is really an individual sector, who's going to pay for that? That seems to me it's going to raise the cost to each individual. Does anybody have any guidance on that?
Dan Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under ITQs, we are authorized to collect cost recovery to cover certain costs of the program. I think you can be assured that the costs will be far less than they are for sectors, if in that it's a single species program, and it is it's just a lot simpler to do the math, frankly, and to collect the data to report on it. Your cost, I can give you some examples. You know, tilefish, we have cost recovery in. And the way that we calculated that has historically been that we take the incremental cost. We don't take the whole programmatic cost, but the additional cost associated with treating it as an IFQ rather than a differently managed fishery. And the fishery, the participants in the ITQ are responsible for that. I think in New England you'll find, or in the Northeast you'll find, that the shared costs for ITQ administration are quite low.
Up to 3%.
Oh, they are authorized up to 3%. I want to say for tilefish it's less than 0.1%.
Thank you, Dan.
Chairman Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have to question the notion that it would take 5 years or 6 years to develop an ITQ program. Obviously, we would have a referendum requirement, but I think going forward, you know, if we effectively engage the industry, and if this emerges as the best solution to the issues facing that fishery, and the industry is involved in the development of those solutions, then I would think that at the end of the day, the referendum would be, frankly, a pro forma exercise. I mean, I think whatever is done needs to reflect well-developed goals and objectives. We propose to go through a workshop process in the Mid-Atlantic to really drill into the details of the southern management area, understand the details of that history, because the fishery in the Mid-Atlantic was constrained in ways that were different than the fishery in New England. So, to that point, some of the industry members have expressed concerns about potentially being disadvantaged in an allocated model. So we really want to understand those concerns, move forward very deliberately. On the one hand, I think we need to move forward in a way that's very thoughtful and deliberate, and yet I question the notion that it would take 5 years to do this. By the same token, the biggest concern that we've heard in the Mid-Atlantic about any sort of allocated fishery model is that it could potentially put small boats out of business. And frankly, I think that's something that we're going to have to address right up front. I mean, if we go into an allocated model, we're going to have to make sure that's a management objective, that's explicit in our planning, if that's one of our objectives, that we would then build the plan around that so that we don't put small boats out of business. And frankly, if we go into an ITQ, we could potentially do that. You could have tiered approaches. You could say, just for example, you could have ownership caps. You could prevent the transfer of quota out of different tiers. I think there are ways that we could address that up front. But that's the overarching concern in the Mid-Atlantic, is that we not put small boats out of business. Frankly, the sector program hasn't addressed excessive shares, hasn't addressed ownership caps. So that's another concern.
Gene. I just want to remind council members, in terms of how a referendum is to be conducted, there are rules that have been promulgated in 50 CFR 600.1310 that lay out the process for determining how the referendum will occur. It's done through proposed and final rulemaking, and then after the IFQ program has been developed, and as Paul mentioned, developed and adopted for further progress by both councils. So you can see all of the steps that are necessary laid out in that section of the regulations.
Gene, does that specify who gets to vote and who has what?
That's all done through rulemaking. There's a proposed process and criteria and eligibility criteria that's proposed, the council develops, that then if the agency believes that appears to represent a fair and equitable and appropriate process, then that's put to rulemaking, proposed and final, and then if the agency is satisfied after comments, then that process is used to actually conduct the referendum. Dan was actually one of the principal authors, ironically, of this regulation in a prior position. And I think he wants to say something about it, too.
Dan?
So I was just going to reply that you have me to blame for this. Congress inserted some language that creates some particular challenges for New England. And in addition to what Gene stated, they require a two-thirds majority for New England, specifically New England. And there's also a requirement that the referendum include its affected permit holders, but also crew members who earn a significant portion of their income from the subject fishery. Now, that will create a challenge just to identify who that would be and you know, what is significant, what is income specifically associated with this fishery relative to their other incomes and all that. So it's what the referendum does is that it creates a very uncertain path. And while we could apply many resources to doing it as expeditiously as possible, it does require a great deal of upfront work for an uncertain outcome. And unfortunately, that's what the referendum creates for us. Thank you.
Paul, did you have a comment?
Just a small one. It's in terms of applying the referendum to crew, the rules say you should consider that. Doesn't mean you have to. I think it says you should consider applying it to crew members.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is, in many ways, an example of what we were talking about on Monday. It's very tempting to me to support this motion for all the reasons that we talked about with this sort of thing. With all the crises we have facing us and all the jobs that we have, particularly, our inability to apply enough resources to complete, for instance, the Habitat Amendment and the ground fish portion, it's very tempting to support the motion. But that would be the wrong thing, because as I mentioned on Monday, what we have wound up doing is, as we descend into one crisis after another, we lose our strategic view. And I know that's wrong. So I am going to oppose the motion because we have to move in new directions. And we have to, I know that the referendum is a challenge, but I was interested in what Rick said a few moments ago, that that if we, what it will do, among other things, as well as putting barriers in our way, it also will force us to be particularly careful in how we set up our ITQ program. And if we do a good job with it, then, as Rick said, the referendum should be pro forma. And I had not thought about it in that way before, and I thank Rick for coming up with that idea. So we will be developing the program to pass the referendum. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing. So in light of the fact that we need to keep our long-range vision intact, our strategic view, and realize that we're not just scrabbling for a foot of the field at a time, sometimes getting pushed back, but we really have to keep the goalposts in line here, or in mind, or in view. So all of that considered, I will oppose the motion. And I agree with Dave Gaethel, we need to get on with this. The way we've been managing for a third of a century has not worked. And we can't keep doing the wrong thing over and over and over again. So I will oppose the motion. Thank you.
Harry Stockwell. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
have a little different perspective. I do support the motion. For the number last number of years, there have been a number of fishermen, particularly in the Gulf of Maine, who have been asking for some relief to have monkfish as part of their allocation. I mean, they've been persistent and vocal. All the issues that have been raised by a number of people around the table can and should be addressed in the action. Doesn't mean that we're the fact that we didn't do accumulation limits and fleet diversity in Amendment 16 doesn't mean that it can't be done in Amendment 6. And it should be. And then perhaps some flexibility can be provided to those who importantly, self-select into the sectors. This doesn't remand anybody from going into sectors. It's just it's another option in this document.
I'm going to go to Tom Dempsey for Phil first, and then Tom, and then we're going to go to another thing till we get to the vote. Another.
I have a suggestion that might move this discussion along. As I mentioned earlier, we have essentially completed the draft range of alternatives to deal with the modifications to the current system that include adopting a leasing, days at sea leasing, as well as a range of options that would accommodate vessels that are in groundfish sectors to obtain monkfish ACE. And perhaps when people view those may feel more comfortable that the issues that are being addressed through the goals and objectives of Amendment 6 are adequately addressed, then you might decide you don't need to go further. Now, that would not accommodate people who want to, as Dave put, strategically move towards an allocative model for monkfish, regardless of what the specific day-to-day issues are, then you would want to continue considering an ITQ system. But perhaps if we could, meet and review what we have done to date, if the committee feels and recommends that addresses the needs and there's an adequate range of alternatives there, that may actually resolve some of this question. It won't move in the strategic direction necessarily that Dave is talking about, but it would address the issues raised in scoping and codified in the goals and objectives.
Thank you, Phil. I mean, from my standpoint, those are the things that are necessary to do to keep Amendment 6 moving no matter which way we vote today. And so, I mean, I think the PDT and the committee ought to be working to develop these alternatives to bring them back to the council. And I think it's a hard position for the council not seeing any of these things to really be able to determine whether they support or don't support what their thinking is on this issue. So I'm going to go to Tom Dempsey.
Excuse me, could I just reply to that? My point being that if we did not now have to develop an ITQ system, we could move forward with what we have just to at least review and so on. That you may otherwise, we've still got a lot of work to do before we have addressed the committee's charge to the PDT.
And I'll reiterate, I agree that is the work you need to be doing. But I don't know how that influences a vote that we're trying to accomplish here right now. Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with your comments overall, but I don't actually think we're really in the position of keeping Amendment 6 moving. I think we're in the position, and the intent of this motion is to get Amendment 6 moving. We're 2 years in, and as you suggested, we don't have anything, nor does the industry have anything in front of us. I think Doug brought up earlier during scoping comments, and when you talk with monkfish fishermen about this, they say, I'm against everything, but I'd really like to see my numbers. And I think we're in the same position. We're against everything, except we'd really like to see the plan. So I think the intent of this is to get this moving, not to keep it moving. I understand the concerns people raise, but we're 2 years into this. 5 to 6 years for an ITQ amendment actually doesn't seem that long to me. We're 2 years in. I don't see us as markedly closer. to whether an ITQ program or a sector program or anything else. So I support this motion once again. We need to get this moving. If this goes down, that's fine. I do think we need to get Amendment 6 moving forward.
In support of the motion? Mark. Did you have
I oppose the motion. I agree totally with Dave Preble's comments regarding a strategic look at this thing. But also there's tactical reasons, I think, to keep it in. We're on the verge of having some work presented before the committee and the council, and I think we really ought to take a look at that first before we make a decision like this. Also, we need to give the Mid-Atlantic, our partner in this, a chance to conduct their workshops and see what the outcome of that work is before we eliminate a major option from the amendment. Thank you.
In support. Glenn.
I am in support of this motion.
Thank you. I'm going to keep that.
Keep that in mind.
Peter.
Well, I'm not in support of this motion. Just after listening to everybody around the table, and I go back to what Doug said too. Just reaching out to the scoping, I think in the groundfish it was rushed in, and I'd like to see it developed and keep ITQ in there and going along with what the mid said. Thank you.
In support. Seeing none, I will call the question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. 5. Opposed. Ten. Abstention. 1. The motion fails.
That's enough for my fish.
Mark.
That concludes my report, Chairman.
Thank you. We will jump right into the Whiting Committee report. Dave Gaethel.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Whiting is behind tab 6. There's a number of documents here. Our goal today is to vote on one issue we were sent back to go to public hearing with, to possibly raise the trip limit in southern New England, and hopefully to vote for a final submission of the Whiting Amendment. We also have one other issue that people may wish to discuss. Since we last met as the council, the Whiting Committee, 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 the Whiting